Morning, church. It's a long one. Sit comfortably. The reading, the first reading, there's two. There's one verse from Hebrews and a longer one from Judges. So first, Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah and David, Samuel and the prophets. Now, Judges chapter 6 in its entirety. Entitled Gideon. Again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of the Midianites was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the God of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hands of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it really is you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar, demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it, cut down, and the newly bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they investigated carefully, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." The men of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son, he must die, because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." So that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal contend with him, because he broke down Baal's altar." Now the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abishrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you say." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. This is the word of the God, Lord.
Superheroes were surrounded by them. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Catwoman, Wonder Woman, Banana Man. Anybody remember Banana Man? Eric used to eat a banana and turn into Banana Man. What he did then, I can't remember, but here we are. Super Ted and Danger Mouse. And I'm sure you can think of many more superheroes. Now we know that they're not real. Sorry, children, if you're listening, but they're not. Okay. And then we've all got our idea of who are superheroes in the Christian faith. We look back at the lives of Gladys Aylward, Mary Slessor, George Muller, the five martyrs of Ecuador, people who were important in your upbringing and your youth. And we think they were wonderful, wonderful people, superheroes of God. When I was preparing this talk, I Googled some songs we sing about superheroes. I'm not asking you to join in, but we could sing, "I need a hero. He's got to be strong and he's got to be fast and he's got to be fresh from the fight." Fireman Sam, he's the hero next door. But not all heroes wear capes. And another song that I've never heard of says, "I'm just your average, ordinary, everyday superhero trying to change the world." In our minds, we often think of biblical heroes as being super spiritual, never doubting, instantly obedient. But this is not the case. One look at the list of heroes in Hebrews 11 shows us this very clearly. We've got cowardly, lying Abraham, Jacob the swindler, Moses the murderer, Samson the womanizer, David the adulterous murderer, and Gideon the reluctant judge. All of these people had flaws, some of them incredibly serious. Biblical heroes are people who have heard God's call and have responded, sometimes with doubt and hesitation at first, but they have responded eventually in faith and obedience. Mostly they were ordinary people who God called to do great things. Our God is a God who hears when we cry out to him. He is a God who cares. He is a God who sends, and he is a God who speaks. Right through history, God has spoken. Through his prophets, through his word, through his people, through his son. In the Bible, he spoke to ordinary people, like Samuel, a young child, Mary, a young woman, Gideon, an ordinary person. But he also spoke to people we might think were important, like the Magi or Zechariah the priest. He spoke when people didn't expect it. Moses and Gideon were both working when God spoke to them. I think Mary was probably doing the housework, and Samuel was asleep. He spoke when people were worshipping and praying. Ananias was praying when told to go and meet Saul of Tarsus, and the church was praying when God spoke and told them to send Paul and Barnabas off as missionaries. God speaks in different ways. He spoke through angels, voices in the night, visions, people, and his written word. And in this passage today, God spoke to Gideon through an angel who may well have been God himself. So what was happening at the time? Well, in our reading, we heard that it was a time that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's what it says in Judges chapter 17. Everybody did what they thought was right. And as a result, there was sin and chaos. The people had forgotten God. They were worshipping idols, Baal, and they were evildoers. And as a result, they were suffering at the hands of their enemies. At the time of Gideon, the people had been oppressed and attacked by the Midianites for 7 years. They cried to God for help, and God heard. God cares. God had to punish them because they were wicked, but he still loved them. He still cared for them. He still wanted to do something for them. And in this case, he goes to a man called Gideon. He sent an angel who told Gideon that he was going to rescue the people from the Midianites, and greets him with these words, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Now, this rather surprised Gideon, who didn't see himself to be that kind of person at all. He was probably looking behind him. Who's he talking to? He can't possibly be talking to me. I'm not mighty, I'm not a hero, and I don't even think the Lord is with me. So, where is he? Why did Gideon feel this way? Well, first of all, he was afraid. He was hiding in a wine press trying to thresh some wheat. Now, it's difficult enough threshing wheat outside, I gather. But trying to do it inside is even more difficult. He is so scared that he's going to be attacked, that his wheat is going to be taken off him, that he is in hiding. He's not exactly brave, is he? He is afraid. He is doubting. Well, if God is with us, if God is with us, why have we got all this trouble? He feels abandoned by God. God has let us down. God has disappeared. God has gone away. God's not interested anymore. This is what he's saying in his chapter. Not exactly spiritual, is he? He feels unimportant. Well, my clan is really small. And my family's not very important, and I'm the least important person in my family, so what are you coming to me for? In other words, because he is afraid, because he is doubting, because he feels let down, because he feels unimportant, he is saying, you've got the wrong person. I am totally unequipped for the task that you want me to do. But the angel tells him, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You are a mighty warrior. You have all the strength you need, and you have a vital job to do. So Gideon wants a bit of proof. And he says, if it really is you speaking, if it really is you saying that I'm this hero that's going to deliver the people, just wait and I'm going to bring you an offering. So off he goes, prepares a goat, cooks it, makes some bread. So obviously this angel is hanging around for a couple of hours, isn't he? He brings the offering and puts it on the stone. And when the angel touches it, oomph, it's burnt up. And Gideon now is scared for a different reason. Have I really seen the face of God? Oh, I might die. Am I in trouble? But God says to him, peace, peace. And he calls that place peace. And because he finds peace with God, he then starts to do some of the things that God is telling him to do. God says, I want you to get up and I want you to go to your father's house, presumably it was his father's house, and cut down the idol that he's got outside his house. This was an idol, an Asherah pole to the god Baal, a fertility god, a sexual kind of god. You name it, it carried on if you worship Baal. And his father has got this Asherah pole, and God says, go and take it down and make a burnt offering to the real God instead. So Gideon goes. He cuts down the Asherah pole, he burns it up, and he makes an offering to Yahweh. But you notice something. He's not quite brave enough yet, is he? Do we blame him? Because when it happens, they all want to kill him. But instead of doing it at daytime, instead of doing it when people can see it, he does it at night. He does it secretly. Ever done something like that? Something that you know you had to do, but you did it so no one else could see, just in case. Later on, he calls his army together. But he is still a little bit uncertain. And so we ask God for a sign. We want the ground dry and the fleece wet, and then the next day we want the fleece wet and the ground dry. Or was it the other way around? And God in his graciousness does what Gideon asked. And so Gideon is now, at long last, he's ready to obey God and do what God said. And if we carried on reading, I expect Andrew is glad that we didn't carry on reading. We come to the next bit of the story where Gideon is told by God to cut down his army from 30 odd thousand, and then it goes down and down and down and down. And in the end, he ends up with an army of 300 people. All of a sudden, his faith is really kicking in, isn't it? And because he does what God says, they defeat the Midianites, and there is peace in the land. Gideon is the hero without a cape, the hero next door, the one who receives praise from his people. So what about us? I mean, it's a great story, isn't it? And we could all go home and say, well, that was a good story about Gideon. But what has the story of Gideon got to say to us this morning? Do we believe, do I believe, do you believe that God hears when we pray? Do we believe that God cares about us? Do we believe that God can speak to us? Do we believe that God wants to use each one of us to do great things in his kingdom? I'm glad to hear that. God hears when we pray. God cares for us in our troubles. And he wants to speak to us as individuals, to us as a church. He wants to talk to us. Why? Because he's got great things for us to do. Are we ready to hear his voice? Would we know it if he spoke to us? Maybe we might be praying and asking God to speak to us. But what if he spoke to us when we didn't expect it? Would we know it was him? Are we ready to obey and go, even to unexpected and difficult situations? Or do we only want God to tell us nice things and ask us to do things that are easy and comfortable? Like Gideon, we may well feel afraid. Don't send me to do that. That's too hard. We may feel like Gideon that we're unimportant. Why should you ask me to do this? I can think of someone who would do a much better job than me. I can think of somebody who is much more important. They're the ones that do this, that and the other. Don't ask me to do this, God, because, well, I'm not important enough. Don't ask me to do this, God, because I'm too weak. You really think I can do that? Sometimes we're confused. Confused by the things that life throws at us. If God is really for me and with me, why is this happening in my life? Can I really trust him? Or has he let me go? Or maybe we're just plain unwilling. I don't want to do it. Remember Moses? I don't want to go, God. Send Aaron. And Gideon doesn't quite say send someone else, but he's saying, well, you can't really mean me. And maybe God is talking to you this morning. He says, I really do mean you. I really do. In Matthew chapter 28, we're told that God is with us always. If you're feeling this morning that God is far away, that God doesn't care, that God doesn't hear, God is with you always. If you feel that you haven't got the strength, well, actually, you're right. You haven't got the strength, and nor have I. But Philippians tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That in our weakness, he is strong. And it's when we admit that we can't do it, that then God pours his strength into us so that we can. God knew that Gideon was a doubter. God knew that Gideon was unimportant in his own family. God knew that Gideon was weak, but he still chose to use him. And God speaks to us and he says, like he said to Gideon, go. Might be go and speak, go and do. But God will speak to us. God speaks to all kinds of people in all kinds of different ways. I don't know how God has ever spoken to you. Maybe God has spoken to you to say that you need to come and trust him for the first time. That you need his forgiveness. That you need his salvation. That you need his eternal life because you haven't got it yet. Have you heard God saying that to you? You need to come to me. You need to come and repent and trust the Lord Jesus. Are you ready to hear that if you haven't done it before? Maybe the Lord is saying to you, you need to come back to me. You've drifted away. Come back. Maybe he's saying to you this morning, you need to be baptized. And you say, well, I'm not very important and I'm a bit scared and I'm a bit weak. But if God is saying to you, be baptized, be baptized. If God is saying to you, you, as we were told earlier this morning, you are my beloved child. You are a daughter or a son of the King. So no matter how unimportant you feel in yourself, in God's sight, you are really, really, really important. Aren't you? You were important enough for God to send his son to die for you. You are important enough that God could send his Holy Spirit to live in your heart and your life. Yes, we know that in comparison with God, we're very small. Of course we are. But in God's eyes, we are important. You know, there are some preachers, I don't think there's any of them here, who always seem to go on about how bad we all are and how unimportant we are. We used to sing a hymn sometimes that said we were worms. No, I don't like hymns like that. You might not invite me to speak again, I would have said that, but I don't like hymns that tell me that I'm a worm. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need God. But in God's eyes, I am really important, and you are really important, because he made you to know you and love you and use you and care for you. I think that's wonderful. And that's what he was saying to Gideon. Gideon, you may feel unimportant, but you're not. You may feel weak, but you're not going to be. You may feel you can't do this job, but you can. Why? Because God is with him. Are we ready to hear what God says? Whether he speaks to us through his word, through the preacher, through a vision, through an angel, you never know. Are we willing to listen? And will we believe what God says? Will we believe that he can use you and he can use me to accomplish greater things than we can even begin to imagine? And those things might not look great, but they are great. Are we willing to obey? Gideon did eventually. Now, I'm going to throw this bit in. Should Gideon have laid a fleece? This is something that people have argued about for years. Now, I'm going to give you my opinion about whether Gideon should have laid a fleece. I think he shouldn't have done. I mean, not me funny. You're at work and an angel appears and says, God has got a job for you to do. Then the angel says, put the offering down there, and it gets burnt up to smithereens. And did Gideon need to lay a fleece? I don't think so. God doesn't blame him. God is very gracious and God is very generous. God does what Gideon asks. And we've got the wet and the dry and the dry and the wet fleece and the ground. And at long last, Gideon is persuaded. But I'm not really sure he needed to do it. How about us? It's a phrase we use a lot, isn't it? I was thinking about this, so I laid a fleece. Now, if an angel has come to your door and told you to do it, you don't need to lay a fleece. Okay? But if you have a thought, a feeling, something comes out from you from the Bible, someone says something to you, you might not actually lay a fleece, but aren't you going to talk about it? You're going to pray about it. You're going to get some advice about it. You might say to the Lord, well, you know, if you really want me to do this, can you really prove it to me? And God will do it, as long as it's sensible. Can I tell a funny story? I love Adrian Plass, and he didn't want to go door to door knocking one day. And so he laid a fleece and said, if a Japanese admiral in a guide's uniform knocks on the door at 2:30, I will know that you don't want me to go door to door knocking. Oh, what a surprise that it didn't happen. No, I mean, that's a silly story, isn't it? But if you lay a fleece, are you willing for God to give you the right answer? Are you? So, if you need to lay a fleece, talk to someone, pray about it, ask God what he wants you to do, and he really will tell you. But I don't believe that actually Gideon needed to do it, because he'd had all the proof that he needed. What is God saying to you today? What is God saying to me today? Repent and trust for the first time. Trust that what God is asking you to do, you can do. Follow him. Don't be afraid. And go. And it says in the Psalms, if today you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If he's calling you to come and be saved, don't harden your heart. If he's coming and talking to you to follow him, don't harden your heart. if he's calling you to serve him, even if it's something you think you can't do, don't harden your heart. But listen to what he has to say. Come to God, acknowledging our weakness. We cannot do it on our own. We can't. In our weakness, his strength is perfected. I need thee every hour, said the hymn writer. We need him. And then obey. Don't rely on your own strength, but believe that God can use the weak, the scared, the doubting, and the ordinary person to accomplish his purposes. And that includes you. You can be a hero without a cape. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you hear us, that you care for us, that you act in our world, and that you often act by calling us to serve you. Sometimes you call us to serve you in ways that we cannot understand, that perhaps we're not very keen about doing or we don't think we can do. But help us to believe that when we hear your voice and follow you, you will give us all the strength that we need. You will help us in all that we do, that your mission here on earth will be accomplished, that your enemies will be defeated, and your kingdom will grow. So help us, we pray, to listen to your voice, to recognize your voice, and to do what you say, because when we do, there is blessing. Amen.
Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you for being here this morning. We pray that each one of us has received a blessing from the Lord. If the Lord has spoken to you this morning, do you need to trust him for the first time? Is there something that you think that he might be wanting you to do? There are people who will pray with you and for you. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty work within us. So that's you and me, the weak ones, the unimportant ones, the ones that nobody thinks much about. Through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more. Not just a little bit, infinitely more than we might ask or think. And may there be glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So we greet each other with the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.